Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, my people! Woo! We are back after a three-week hiatus. I am so excited to be here. This is Legacy's After Show, and you guys, I'm your host, Haley Graves. You will see our lovely Miss Shiksha Matani is here, but also a new face that's going to need to become very familiar for everyone. This is Mikel. One more time with your last name because it's going to throw me off.
Barlow.
There we go. Mikel Barlow, guys. He's joining us. He is equally a super fan, and I gotta let everyone know, Shiksha always likes to talk about the fact that I'm notorious for guessing things correctly when we're watching the show together. Well, guys, Mikel one-upped me and did it his first time here today. We'll get to all of it. We're gonna break this episode down by talking about each character and what was going on in this magical box of consciousness. So we're going to talk about every character, including the fact that Dark Josie is here to stay. Don't forget, anyone joining us, we're also going to get to The Merge, which is our special segment where we decide our best duo and our worst duo from this episode. So be brainstorming on that because Shiksha will be in the live chat with all of you. And then Shiksha also has some great news and gossip for us. And then we'll get to predictions to wrap. So, guys, with that, there's our show laid out for you. Woo. But tell me your overall thoughts. Mikel, tossing it to you, my man.
I think that, and this may be an unpopular opinion, but I thought this episode was really great.
Okay.
I think because I enjoy character episodes, like it was very heavily character oriented. And I also enjoy when the whole super group gets together and does anything. So that's always fun to see. And then I love that they like threw Jade in there to kind of mix things up. I like that.
Yeah. Right, so I have to disagree.
I knew this was coming.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, you know I'm obsessed with the show and I love every single episode they ever release. But so considering that I love the show, so I obviously loved the episode from that standpoint, but this wasn't my favorite at all.
Yeah.
But I've never been, like, a big fan of the black and white, the older vibes. It's just not for me. So they still made me love the show. It's not like I didn't. It just wasn't my vibe.
I kind of agree with both of you. Like, I'll pull a little bit from each of you because in the past, when I'm watching shows, I've never loved the whole, similar to you, Shiksha, the black and white throwback theme or really kind of anything. Theme episodes I'm never a huge fan of. I remember they did it a couple times in Vampire Diaries. Even in Vampire Diaries, I wasn't even a fan of the hypothetical shows, you know, where it's like, oh, what could have been. I never really enjoyed that.
Yeah, me neither.
But this episode, on the flip side, I was cool with it because it still moved the needle for a lot of our characters.
Absolutely.
We still found out more about them, and I think the show did a really good job of creating this in a new, different way because, I mean, we were discussing, I was a little bit over the new monster repetitivity. Every single episode, it was, okay, our new monster's this, our new monster's that. And this one, it was different. Yeah. And I also, I don't know about y'all, I loved the makeup and the character, like, the overall, like, the look of the characters. Yeah, that's why I enjoyed it, too. I really did.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just going to say that I love noir, and so that made me love this episode even
more. Okay, then who do you think looked the best and pulled off the best kind of 50s character?
Actually, I think Emma did.
Okay.
The teacher. And second is Izzy.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
She looked the 50s, like, movie star, starlet.
Oh, yeah.
You hit the nail on the head.
The scream that she did. I was like, oh, gosh, she was born for that era.
Yeah, no, the hair and makeup was absolutely amazing. Yeah. There's no doubt. But you said that you don't like that we always have a new monster, and I think this is the first episode that we haven't had like
monster. I was just kind of like over it.
But didn't we though?
We did technically. We have a new very big monster coming.
Listen, not the typical. So for me, I don't know. I like having that monster
as like the pinnacle of the storyline.
Yeah, I enjoy that. That's just what the show is for me, sure. You know? And I understand how it could be repetitive, but for me, I know we kind of had a monster, okay? Whatever. At the same time, it wasn't the same, so yeah. It was missing. It was lacking for me.
Okay. See, yeah. So if you're listening to us right now, this episode, and rather than having a monster out of the Malabor pit or someone, an extension of the Necromancer, who teaser we actually end up seeing, but rather than there being this big monster for them to figure out how to get rid of, our monster, in a sense, is mostly replaced by this magical box that Emma, so all of our students, our faves, are all in therapy together and going, just trying to dissect everything they've just been through. And Emma brings out this box that was actually created by the real Professor Vardimus, not our creepy, not Vardy. We call him Vardy, by the way.
Vardy.
Yeah, that's the name.
That's his name. And he created this box that basically their consciousnesses, conscious, is that a word?
Consciousness.
That's just one. Anyway, sorry. That, their brain power, we'll call it that, goes into this box and basically it's sorting out their internal things that they're struggling with. That's pretty much how I gathered it. And while they're in there, it's not until they find this special word that they basically awaken and they're supposed to be resolved with whatever their issues are. So that's where we'll start. They all go into this box. And I really did like the touch of the fact that Landon wasn't in this episode, but they called the bar that they started at Landon. And the first thing MG says about it is it's the place where lost things go, which is really ironic that it was Landon because I feel like he's always lost. And that was also the name of this episode.
Which is also strange to me that he wasn't in therapy. He needs to be in therapy more than the rest.
Like, maybe he could have figured out how to fly for good.
No, this is the first episode, I think, that he hasn't been in. Because he's been probably in every... Raph, we know, is, like, never in it. But Landon's always in it, so that was weird.
Yeah.
And Hope was hardly in it. So it was, like... Mm.
I mean, but you know, they still, we'll get to Hope, but we'll, you know, they had to keep her as her martyr status always.
Of course. Well, we'll definitely talk about that. But before we, you mentioned Vardy.
Yep.
And I just want to shout out to the actor, Alexis Denisov.
Oh, yeah?
Because when he first came on this show, you guys in the chat were like, how have none of you seen Buffy?
Oh, I remember that.
Buffy.
Okay. Have you seen Buffy?
I'm obsessed.
Okay.
This show is because
of, you know, Buffy. I agree with you. I actually went and watched Buffy because you were all like, what the hell? So I watched it and I was looking out for him, but he didn't come out till season 3. And then I was like, it's Vardy!
Oh my God. She was like, I did it! Yeah. Ding, ding, ding!
Yeah.
Look at the things she does for y'all, you guys. And with that, Shiksha actually has a message for all of you.
I do. So just really quick, want to thank all of you for watching us here at AfterBuzz TV. You make us the ESPN of TV talk. While you're here listening to us, make sure, while you're chatting, which I am reading your live chat, make sure to hit that like button and the subscribe button. And if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, make sure to give us 5 stars. So that we can keep coming back and talking to you about the shows that we all love. So thank you guys. Love you.
And no joke, with the craziness that's happening in the world right now, everyone is just going to be watching so much TV. So with that being said, so much Netflix, so much Hulu, all of the above. Make sure, because we have after shows for everything from dramas to supernatural to comedies to reality TV. We cover it all, so if there's something for you, go find the AfterBuzz show, because I promise you, we got it, and especially right now is perfect time. Just had to throw that out there. But anyway, so now let's dive into each one of the characters.
Yeah.
So like you said, I want to start off with Emma, because she's the one who introduces this box, this whole situation. She's telling the kids, hey, I'm going to be there for you the whole time. Right. I'm here to help. Psych, she gets killed first.
I was confused because I thought that that might be part of it initially.
Agreed.
When it first started.
I thought that it was going to be like, oh, who killed just her?
Yeah.
And so she ends up getting murdered by poison. And we find out that then all of a sudden Vardy is there, who we have not seen since Clark had kind of taken over his body or took his appearance, basically. And so we just thought that Vardy was done.
Uh-huh.
And so now we have a scene where Emma is dead. She's back in the real world. And Vardy is there with MG.
Yes.
What were your thoughts when you saw Vardy?
I got excited.
Me too.
I mean, I know there's some things that I want to say about him for predictions, so I'll save it for that.
Cool.
But I got really excited when I saw the real Vardimus because, for one, just the throwback to Buffy, you know, like seeing him in a Julie Plec show, who she says this show is a love letter to Buffy.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. I think that got me really excited.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I know. I agree completely. And you know what? I was excited because I wasn't sure if they were going to bring the actor back.
Yep.
And I think that they did it in a pretty cool way. It's interesting that he was in that locker and nobody ever found
this
him.
Entire
okay, that
time?
Was my like, biggest qualm with this whole thing. I was like, okay, so homie's just been like locked up in a locker yeah. in the gym that there's been several scenes of them being at, and no one was just like, hey, let's see what's in these lockers.
Exactly.
And like, let's be honest, like, I'm sure his body had to start smelling.
Right.
And especially having vampires and werewolves, like, somebody should have smelled that.
Smelled them, yeah.
This is a supernatural world, yeah. Haley.
Okay, whatever. But that was just a little loophole. It was a very slight loophole. I want to try and think, you know, like, big picture here. I'm like, maybe by his conscience being locked in a way that somehow, like, transported his body in the locker and he wasn't there the whole time. I know that's not realistic. Yeah, it's not that realistic, but I'm telling myself that to try and ignore this major loophole in this plot line. Anyways, so Vardimas and Emma back in the real world and they discover that someone is within the game or the simulation and they're changing the rules. And this person has to have a lot of magic. So, of course, I start trying to predict here and I knew it was going to be linked to Josie, but then it didn't entirely, I didn't figure out why. And then Michael figured it out for us, and we're going to get to it in just a second. But before we do, the next person that popped up and ended up dying was Jade.
So actually, Jade, can I interject? Sorry about that.
We got our chat.
We do have our chat. So Ivan Soto is asking if we're surprised Clark didn't actually kill Vardimas.
I think he probably thought he did. I feel like, me, it almost seemed like, I mean, the way that I pieced it together was Vardy did this for himself as almost like a precautionary, like, safe guard.
Okay.
I feel like I don't think that I was surprised that he didn't kill him. And this is just my imagination. Yeah. But I think it had something to do with maybe Clark needing him to be alive to be able to look like
that's
him.
Fair.
I was
because I was gonna say, like, that's a good point, or I not necessarily that Vardy didn't I mean that Clark didn't kill him. I was more surprised that he just didn't get rid of the body.
Yeah, that
you know what
weird.
I mean? Because, like, putting his conscience there forever, like, then he can't ever really come back out to anything. You know, he would be dead.
Yeah. For me, I didn't think he was dead because of Harry Potter.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just me. We have Ted B saying he probably had a cloaking spell on him. Logan Knight saying Clark probably put something on real Vardy so people wouldn't know he was there. So, yeah, it was magic. It's a magic world.
Yeah,
magic.
You know, always. So, but, our next person in this magical box, speaking of magic, is Jade. So I'm so excited that they're continuing to use her and have her and Josie be a thing, because I'm all for it. I really do. I like the two of them together. I like their little spark that they had. And I think we talked about this 3 weeks ago, but I really liked that Jade, now that she kind of has found her goodness again, I feel like I'm not going to get to predictions. I was almost going to let it slip. But I have one about Jade and Josie. So we see, I'm going to kind of segue into both of them. So Josie, in the very beginning scenes, is finding Jade in her dreams. And, you know, you can tell that good Josie is very interested and attracted. But then that's where we see the debut of dark Josie really still lurking and being very prevalent in this. Mm-hmm. And so in this situation, Jade is calling out Josie. They're diving into Josie's issues. She's trying to say, you know, I would do anything for Lizzie. The reason why I poisoned her was because I wanted her to, like, her movie to blow up and blah, blah, blah. And I wanted to be out from under her grasp. And so Jade basically was going to expose Josie for what she did. Mm-hmm. And instead, Josie then turns around and kills her, too.
Right.
So what did y'all think of them bringing Jade in, like, the small part she played, but I think she's going to end up having a bigger role?
Yeah, I think you're right. I definitely think she's going to play a bigger role. I didn't love her on it. You're shipping Jade and Josie.
Oh, yeah,
and
I am.
I'm not sure what the ship name is. Guys, let me know. Sorry.
Jay-Z? JJ is kind of cute.
Right? Yeah, but I guess I wasn't feeling it this episode. Maybe they'll convince me later on.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wasn't all here for that. But it's interesting to bring on another character.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jade, who has a very different kind of a background.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it could develop into something cool. But we're just not there yet. So.
For sure.
I think that it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
Which I am excited about. I love her. I love the character because she has a different perspective than the rest of the kids. She's been through something different. And she's a female vampire, and they don't have any in the group.
Yep.
And so I think that that's going to be an interesting
dynamic.
Kind of dynamic.
Especially with Caleb.
Yeah. Yep. I think it's going to be cool.
I didn't catch this. Let me know if you did. Okay. Ivan Soto said, Shiksha, Josie had dirty feet when she was back in her dorm.
Yes, I did notice that.
Showing she sleepwalked. And Logan's like, Logan Knight saying, I like the fact Jade and Josie both thought the kiss was just a dream, even though it happened for real. Yeah. I didn't catch that.
I did catch that. I didn't exactly know, because then it also looked like Jade was like sleeping in the woods.
Yeah.
Which confused me. So that was the part that still felt dreamlike. But then I did notice the feet. And I didn't know if they were dirty or if they were bloody, to be honest. And so... Yeah, I mean, with Dark Josie, could have been either. But I did notice that as well, which showed us that, yes, it was very real. But so, yes, Josie. I mean, this is just kind of the pinnacle of the episode. And you called it. How did you know so early on that this was going to be Dark Josie?
Well, because I think at the beginning they showed in the dream that she had split.
Yep.
And then they were in this, like, consciousness
do you think that she fit okay so since we were just talking about the fact that this happened for real, or some part of this was very real, do you think that there was actually two physical Josies there at the time, or was the dark one still just in her imagination?
I think the dark one was still in her imagination.
Okay.
I
think that she locked the good one in the box.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Like, she's
or she's dead.
Or she's dead.
No. Yes. No, because
it does make sense.
No.
Because the good one, okay, for those of you that are just listening to us, the ones that, okay, technically she kind of, okay, I mean, she's like, I think there's like a fragment of her still remaining. I don't know, this makes me give vibes, I'm about to get slightly off track, but there's another show that's similar, not similar, but it's also supernatural, and it's called The Magicians.
I love it.
And, you know, in The Magicians, when Elliot got put in, like, the evil monsters or evil gods, like, mind, he was still there, but it was very, 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 very small, like, holding on to that last piece of hope that was left. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's going to be a similar case, because we actually saw a good Josie die in this episode. She just, her conscience never awoke.
Right.
So we know that good Josie is just, for the time being, gone. And dark Josie was the one who completely took over. And what was really interesting was that this is them now tying in the merge. We know that they've kind of talked about this and been alluding to this, and this has been something that Josie has really been harping on, because remember, Josie was doing all of this research to figure out how they could prevent it, she's been the one that's really been focusing on it. And I think this is just all of that almost anxiety about it come to fruition.
Yeah.
And in result, her dark side has just completely taken over, because I think she was suppressing it for so long that that's what made her dark side ultimately so strong.
I think this is their way of bringing the merge up.
Yeah.
6 years, because they started talking about it. They're 16.
Then they were 16, yeah.
And it's like, what, are we going to deal with this 6 years from now? And
right.
You know? So this was definitely their way of speeding things up a little bit.
And I do want to ask our viewers, because we discussed this, but we were talking about how this can be possible. And the only thing that I can think of is, so in this episode, Dark Josie basically tells Lizzie, hey, I'm here to kill you because your conscience will be locked here forever. So then when the time comes, I can merge with your body in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
That's ultimately her big evil plot. But we were discussing, since they are still young, they're still years from the merge happening, the likelihood of that plan even happening is very slim to none,
right,
unless she somehow can merge bodies prior to the year of their birth. Or, I mean, the year that it's, like, the merge is supposed to take place. So let us know in the chat if any of you kind of has dissected into that anymore, if the merge can actually take place prior to
it, just
the year,
like,
it needs
22
to be.
Is the limit.
Yes.
It has to be done by then.
Exactly. Like, they can't go past 22 or they both die. So as long as it happens before that, then it's fine.
I wonder. I wonder if it's just because of the dark magic that now that's even a factor.
Well, I just don't think that they ever, you don't, the merge hasn't been something that they wanted to happen. You know, so they were trying to exhaust every resource and every possibility to avoid it and giving themselves as much time as possible. But now Dark Josie's like, let's get this over with. I'm ready to be the only Saltzman.
I think that it has more to do with with her having dark magic, because because if that were the case, then in Vampire Diaries, Kai would have merged with his sister.
But technically, wasn't Joe running from him, like, all along?
When they lived together and he killed everybody, she was in the house. In the house, then
true.
And so, if he, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I guess. Like, so you're saying the dark magic technically is making her more powerful. Could make the whole thing be a possibility of happening sooner.
Right.
That does make sense. It really does, because we've seen in this episode, especially. I mean, she's changing the rules of this game that they're all in to benefit her, essentially. And what ends up happening with Josie is, Hope ends up coming to the rescue. So now I'm going to talk about Lizzie and Hope for a minute. Lizzie, her, I guess, grief and the reason why she's in there is that she ultimately realizes that she's been so self-centered and so focused on herself that she's overlooked the fact that her sister's been struggling. Mm. And that's what she really has to come to terms with, is the fact that she hasn't seen how much pain that Josie's in, despite always saying, I would do anything for my sister, I would die for my sister, but she hasn't really been seeing her sister.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, Hope, again, like how I mentioned, always having to be the hero, Hope was finally going to go run off, be with Landon, yada, yada, yada. They were going to do their little thing. Instead, she comes back to ultimately save Lizzie, and she's the one who knocks out Dark Josie, and Lizzie and Hope end up getting to go back to the real world, voila. So, I mean, what did y'all think of just their two kind of realizations? And especially, you can even touch on the fact that Hope ends up coming back to terms with it, thinking that hers and Landon's relationship is doomed. So talk to me about Lizzie, and then talk to me about Hope.
Okay, I'll go first.
Yep.
So, wait.
You lost your train of thought, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Tell me what you thought about Lizzie realizing that Josie has been struggling.
So I was confused by that, because Josie's been going on and on and on about the dark magic.
Yep.
She had the hourglass she was dealing with. It was part of the prison world. So how is it that she doesn't... I understand that she was part all wrapped up with Sebastian and all of that, but at the same time, it's not like she didn't know.
Yeah.
So I didn't fully follow that train of thought. And the second part?
And then about Hope thinking that her and Landon are doomed.
Okay, so Hope always has to be the martyr. We talk about this every week, because she's just the martyr.
They're just really instilling that in our
brains. I swear. yeah, but I never liked Landon and Hope.
I know, you didn't. Okay, next,
you didn't, Michael. Either. You didn't either. Do you like Landon and Hope? Because neither one of us do.
Yeah. We're not
we're not afraid.
I don't.
Oh,
look at that.
Guys.
3 for 3. Sorry, everybody.
I like them as characters, but I don't like them.
We don't like
together.
Them as a ship. Yeah,
like
we're
not.
Well, the chat always likes Hope and Landon.
Right, so here's my thing. I'll start with my Hope and Landon situation.
Yep.
I think that...
Give us your stance.
My stance is this. They should have... They need to take some real time apart. Like, to like
grow up.
Character. Like, be adult. You know what I mean?
Not, like, so their character... Like, their
they're doing this.
Do this.
And it's
like, this is what they're...
There's so much separate that, that we could see and do.
Yeah.
And, like... So do that.
Yes.
That's why I'm like, okay, can we're beating this over the head. Like, we get it. They're not a match.
Yes. Like, the world clearly gets it.
No, but they're trying to convince us that they are a match.
I'm not convinced.
Same.
Thank
100%.
Goodness. Welcome to the panel.
We've been on the same page, because we have also been on Team Rope, which we kind of
now.
I know, but they did tease us a little bit by putting that scene of the two of them together, which
that's
I think the purpose...
Hope.
Yeah, I think he put that together.
but
I think the purpose of that was to show us, like, that their friendship is still going to be strong and intact, which is fine to me.
And I think that that's what... Hope just needs friends. Like, she just needs to, like, be with
she really
her
does.
Friends, like... Let her friends in and, like, just have friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that that'll do her world a
And
good.
Honestly, homegirl needs to just learn to love herself before she
100%.
Tries to love another person. Because that's the only way that things really pop off. Right. All right.
So we have Brandon Bowie saying, Landon and Hope need to end soon. I would rather have Hope and Ethan. Yeah,
oh,
where the hell
Ethan.
Is Ethan?
But
okay.
He's been gone.
Where's that whole, the human faction? As
yeah.
Like.
And then you have Logan Knight saying, I like Hope, but I'm overhanded, so don't really care if they break up or not. Lily Jean Girl 24 said, I really don't care much for Hope and Landon as a couple. This is the first time you guys are agreeing with us.
Oh, Shiksha's fired up. Fired up.
I love you guys, but we've always disagreed on this one point, so I'm glad we're all on the same page now.
Yeah, I'm glad we're all riding the ship here with them. But right. So with that, we do, like I said, we get a little bit of Roth back. And I'm actually excited because for the first time, I feel like they're giving us more for his character. And I feel like they're teasing us and alluding to things that he's been through. And I feel like we're finally going to get some answers because I don't know about you, but Shiksha and I have been bothered by the fact that we were like, where'd he go?
Yeah.
What happened to him?
And there's a few characters that happened to
it's
it.
Just like,
and I'm glad that they're kind of addressing those things now. Where it's like, okay.
They're trying to give us something. And
did you realize that Raph was the only one who didn't get shot in that world?
Yes, I did write that down because I thought it was very strange that he was the only one that, well, until Hope at the end, but he was the only one that didn't have to die to escape the world. Yeah. He found his word. But I wonder if it somehow had to do with, so we end up seeing, even before they went into the world, when they're in the world, then after that, Raph has this cut, stab from something in his side, and we don't really know what it's from, but we do see that his character in this world, which is where all of their kind of repressed energy is being placed, the picture he takes and the dark figure in the back ends up being the necromancer.
Yeah.
Which, like, what the hell is up with that?
We all know what that means.
Yeah. So, actually, Billie Jean Girl 24 had a really interesting theory about that, saying that, yes, Raph is dead, he got killed by the necromancer, and that scar is the result.
And now he's being controlled by him in the same way that poor Chad is.
Yep.
So, what the hell? Like, are they just getting rid of Raph after
this season, I don't know,
then?
But we're going to come back to it at predictions, because before we get to predictions, we are going to talk about our special segment, which is The Merge, where, once again, we have our best duo and worst duo of the episode. So, Shiksha, tell me your best duo.
Okay. Well, can we start with bad first?
Sure, go for it.
Okay.
Just ignore me.
No, I love you, you know. So we have the worst. I had two for each. Jade and Josie. I just wasn't loving it. And MG MG and Lizzie, because I'm over that whole scenario. Yeah. You know, like, why?
Like, the tug and pull of the two of them. Again, we go on rants all the time that, like, we need to start a hashtag, or we need everyone that watches us to tweet at Brett Matthews telling him, hey, give MG some love and let him find love and it not be Lizzie Salter.
I know. I'm just so done with
why,
this.
Why, though?
Because he's always falling over for Lizzie.
But that's who he wants.
No. Stop it. No. Because Lizzie never reciprocated. And she, for the first time, addressed it in this episode.
Which is why I love
her. No, see, I will say that the character of Lizzie, this is where my issue is. I wouldn't have an issue with it if Lizzie finally owned up to these feelings. Because every time they do give us a little something where you can tell that it's almost as if Lizzie, and this just might be a credit to her character, or like to the actress, but she does a great job of making us almost feel like she does have feelings for MG also, but she would never own up to it, would never admit to it. And that's what I think keeps us captivated on their relationship. And I think that's also what keeps MG around.
I think because in the whole episode, Lizzie's like, or Izzy.
Lizzie.
Lizzie?
Lizzie. Like McGuire.
Lizzie's been dealing with her self-absorption this entire episode, and so she's addressing that.
And her whole life.
I mean, yeah. But she's addressing that with her sister, and she's addressing it with MG and saying, hey, I know that I've been kind of keeping you around only when I'm hurting and when I'm lonely or whatever, and she's admitting it. And I just love that scene because
we saw growth in her.
We saw growth in her. And then the song is the Ben Platt song, Go. I love that song, and I think that it was fitting.
This show has the best music.
It has the greatest music.
Yes. Yeah. Perfect timings.
Okay. Yes, that scene was great that she admitted it, but at the same time, she's still leading him on a little bit, I feel, and I just don't see that ever happening, so, like, let's move on.
The writers are still just teasing us. Okay. Yeah. Give me your, I'll come back to you for your best. Give me your worst duo.
My worst duo this episode would probably be Hope and everybody that she was in the scene with.
It's fair.
What?
It's fair. Okay.
Like, I just feel like her, that whole, like, martyr thing is just so tired that, like, as she puts it in every scene, it's like, okay, we get it. Like, you're just telling everybody what everyone already knows.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
My worst, I guess, in a sense, I'll just throw another one out there, throw another line, was Emma and the students. Because let's be honest, she tried really hard to help and it just completely backfired. So
really?
That was just kind of a worst there. I mean, she was like, I'm going to be there for you guys. Psych, I died. And so, okay, now
fair.
Give me quickly your best duo.
So I had two, Vardy and Emma. I thought they had a cool dynamic.
Okay.
And then,
I was more Vardy than Emma, but...
Yeah, but I still liked it. And then Lizzie and Hope. It okay. just kind of reminded me of the video game episode.
I did
and,
like them.
I did like them.
And they were my favorite, even that episode for the merge. And yep. I don't know. I just liked them together.
I'm stealing your thoughts. I'm just going to echo it. I like
that
one.
Yeah.
I think that my favorite was probably Vardy and Emma.
Okay.
With a close... I'll just say Vardy.
Yeah. What is our chat saying?
Oh, gosh. They... Woo! All right, guys. Mercenary X84 said, worst duo, Dark Josie and everyone else.
Fair.
Fair indeed. Yes, Mencita Gonzalez said, I love Dark Josie. Terry Priceless said, but she doesn't need to... Okay. Kill everyone. So that's, yeah. So everybody's kind of agreeing. A lot of people like... Dark Josie.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not completely opposed to her. We'll get to some predictions in just a second. But before we get to predictions, Shiksha has some news and gossip.
Woo! After Buzz TV news. All right, guys. Tonight's Legacies news. So let's talk about Thomas Doherty, who wasn't even in this episode. He plays the character Sebastian. He is currently in the show High Fidelity.
Yes,
for
he
Hulu.
Is.
Which is exciting.
He
so you can go see
is,
more of his.
Tell ya.
Yeah.
He definitely is in that show.
More of his chiseledness in that show.
Vito in the booth, this is the most high res photo I've ever seen. Anybody.
You can
glad
see
you like
every
it, Vito.
Line in his cheek.
He just.
His chin.
He's got a good face.
He does.
And then he's actually just been cast for the reboot of Gossip Girl.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yes. Oh my God, me too. So, yeah, but the character that he's going to be playing has not been announced. Just the fact that he's going to be in it. So I wonder who he'll be playing. Let us know in the chat. Do you like Gossip Girl? Are you excited about this?
100p. 100.
100.
100p.
And then second, we have Legacies is actually going to have a musical episode this season. It's going to be dedicated to Vampire Diaries and the originals. So executive producer Brett Matthews told TV Guide, quote, we try to do a musical a year, and it's a musical that will sort of revisit our legacies, the legacy of the show, the Vampire Diaries, and the originals universe, end quote. Last season, they used the pretext of a school talent show to get everyone singing. So what do you guys think is it's going to be this time? Is it going to be a monster? What's going to cause the musical? Let me know in the chats. It's actually going to be episode 19 of this season, and this was episode 14, so just by the way.
Caleb's for sure going to be singing a lot because, like we put up here always, he has a great voice. He has singles out there. Go listen to him on Spotify. But on the Thomas front, do you think this for sure means that we're not going to get him back, right? Because I know that we had, like... We had high hopes.
I don't think he's coming back for a while.
Yeah, like, we had high hopes that there's was the... opportunity for him to
come
back,
yeah.
And now it with his other adventures and opportunities he's getting in his acting career, I don't know that we'll see him again, which is kind of a bummer. But I he was a great, great
vampire. He was doing
vampire.
The Damon.
That's what I'm saying. The
he
Damon.
The Damon.
Oh.
Yeah.
He gave me a mixture of Damon and Klaus. Like
yes,
yes,
oh, 100%.
Tortured
soul.
Soul.
Yes.
And it's not him.
With
we're gonna need somebody else to fill that hole because hello.
It was great. It was great. All right, guys. Very quickly, let's discuss our predictions.
TV
predictions. Okay, go ahead, Michael. You teased one earlier.
I think that we said one of the ones that I think is that Wrath is dead and that he is controlled by the Necromancer and that the Necromancer is using him to get close to Hope.
Okay.
For some reason.
Sad.
Yeah, it's sad, but that's what I think. Mm-hmm. I also think that Professor Vardimus is going to be a mainstay in the school as a teacher.
Yes, I definitely
think that he's
agree
not going anywhere anytime soon, which I'm excited about.
I agree.
So just bouncing off of that, because I had written a note about that, because now Dorian and Emma are gone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're going to need another teacher.
We need another adult. Like, yeah. It can't just be Alaric. I'm not sure.
And occasionally the sheriff, who doesn't like any of the school. So.
Yeah, but also we need somebody to keep Alaric in check, because we don't know what the hell he's thinking anymore, right? He's gone crazy. So, I think Vardy's a great choice. So I think that he will stick on.
And because to some degree, I feel, or at least I would hope, that Clark, he must have taken on some characteristics of Vardy. There's a reason why he chose to kind of be him, aside from the fact that he was going to be the headmaster of the school. But I feel like Vardimus is going to be the key to unlocking whatever darkness is going on with Josie, because he was the only one not... At the end of the episode, he wasn't down there when she decided to uplift herself out of the building. And we all talked about this. We didn't touch on it. But that scene at the very end when she's walking out of the school, just a reminder, that's the scene of the vision that she had been having. All this buildup, that was actually the scene coming to fruition. They thought that that was going to happen in the other world that they were in with the... What is the thing called?
Ascendant.
There we go. And, so that was the scene at the end. So I think that Vardimus is going to somehow help. And if not, I think Jade is going to be the one. Yes. Yeah, we talked about that. I still think Jade is going to be the one that
100%
keeps good Josie around, because they wouldn't have given us that scene at the beginning of this episode if not.
Yeah, and it would be interesting if you're right, because in Vardy is the one who, Clark in Vardy was the one who created the dark magic, and he's the one who's going to pull it out.
No, exactly. So yeah. I think it would be a very nice bow tie on that. So, well, anything else, guys? Oh, what is our, anyone in the chat? Yeah.
Yeah, so Gracian Ryan is saying that Jade may be the love that destroys all. And that Raph is dead and being
from our prophecy.
Yeah, from the prophecy, which is an interesting thought. Let's see. I predict Logan Knight saying, I predict Jade is going to help Team Hope get good. Josie back and JC might have more moments together. And Brandon Bowie says, I predict that because the simulation could have two Josies, that they will be able to split good and dark Josie. I hope
that's
you're right.
That's a good point. Yeah. But there's not another body. I mean, they could figure that ish out, let's be honest.
Magic. All right, Magic world.
They can figure that ish out. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. We'll be back here next week. Stay safe, everyone. Wash your hands. I know we keep saying it,
yes,
but for
wash.
Real, stay safe. We appreciate all of you. We will see you next week. With that, go ahead and sign us off. Shik Show, we'll wrap it around.
All right, guys, you can find me on all social media platforms at I Am Bolly Girl, where I post about all the after shows I'm on, as well as all kinds of Bollywood news, so check it out.
And you can find me on all socials at Official Mykel. That's Official MYKELL. I'm going to start posting about my new adventures with AfterBuzz TV.
Yes, we're so excited to have Mykel joining us. This was, I don't even know if I said it, this was his first episode or thing here at AfterBuzz.
First after show.
And guys, I am your host, Haley Graves. We'll see you next week. You can find me on Instagram, Haley Graves with two S's. That's HaleyGraveSS. Or on Twitter, Haley1Graves2. See you next week, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.